Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. But today, my friends, I got so much real estate investing material here, I can't possibly get through it all. So we're going to get to a lot of it. It's going to be good stuff. I've also got mailbag stuff that's just over the top here. Questions people ask that are all really good questions. Try to get to some of that if we can. But I can't let this day go by without speaking about George W. Bush, who has just left, has just passed on. And as I sit here and I watch the funerals and all the eulogies for him and everything, I wondered myself, and I actually had a conversation about it with a couple of people the other day about this, where they had gone crazy with grief about losing their father. Say, why? Well, because my father was a great man, and I miss him. And I say, but why? I say, you know, I would mourn if I knew my father had great potential but never did anything. That he was a complete loser, never tried, never accomplished anything, wasn't a good guy. I would mourn that my father never really lived. But why would you mourn if you've got a great father who died? Crying isn't going to help him. Mourning isn't going to help him. He is not going to provide a spot in your life, and neither is mourning going to provide a spot in your life. In fact, the mourning that they were doing was so devastating, it's destroying their life. It's messing with their marriage. It's messing with their health. It's messing with their family and their kids. Mourning is not a positive thing. I just want to go over this with you. I don't care what you say. I'll fight you on this one. Bring in your psychiatrist because they're all quacks. Mourning is not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. It doesn't do anybody any good, not the dead person and nor you. So what does do you some good? Here's what does you good. As I sat back and I listened to the eulogy about George W. Bush and all the stuff that he's done, it inspired me. It didn't make me mourn, oh my gosh, here's a great guy gone. No, this great guy's 94 years old, I think. I would love to live to 94. That is a life well lived. And hey, jumped out of an airplane at 80, jumped out of an airplane again at 90. This is a man who lived life like life should be lived. And I'm inspired saying, my gosh, you know, I sometimes every once in a while, because I just got out of the hospital again. And every time something happens to me, I think to myself, my gosh, I'm getting old. This is probably the last hurrah. And then I pop out of it. Because I realize that mourning myself doesn't do any good either. And I pop out of it and go, man, how inspiring that he jumped out of an airplane at 80 and again at 90. I'm going, I guess I really haven't accomplished anything yet. You know, obviously I'm not going to go back and be a war hero like them, but I was a bodybuilder champion. I've got my past history of successes. You have all of you have something, right? But you should be inspired that all of that something really is just the beginning for much, much more. And so you're sitting and go, man, I made it through college. And some of you made it through a big name college. Whoop-de-doo. Glad for you. What did that get you? Well, let's say, well, it got me a good job. Okay, whoop-de-doo. So you got a good job. What did that do for you? Well, I made pretty good income. A highly compensated. Okay, good. Whoop-de-doo. What did that do for you? Well, I bought a big house. Great. Whoop-de-doo. What did that do for you? Are you happily married? Do you have happy, healthy, smart, intelligent kids that are not on drugs, that are not going to jail, that are not just, what's the word for it? They have no focus in life. They're just wandering generalities in the world of youth that doesn't care about anything anymore? Have you succeeded in your family? Have you succeeded in your health? Are you out of shape? Are you unhealthy? Have you taken care of yourself? What have you succeeded at? Where are you? You look at George Bush. I mean, even in his older years, he never got fat. He never got out of shape. Right? Oh, and by the way, not only was he a military hero and then a public figure, head of the CIA, vice president, then president, blah, 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 blah. Not only all of that, right? He was a successful business person, a multi-millionaire. Interesting. You can do all that and be a millionaire too? For all you liberals out there going, boy, he's out there doing all this giving back to society. Yeah, that's great. Let's give back to society. But he never stopped to not become a millionaire along the way. He never stopped to not make both of his kids millionaires. Right? So what I'm saying to you is, as I see this stuff on TV today, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is really inspiring stuff. We should really be thinking to ourselves, what more can I contribute to society, which includes me, my family, my neighborhood, my school, my church, my city, my country? What more can I contribute to all of the factors that make up our life? Or do I sit on the couch and just be satisfied? This is painful conversation for a lot of you. I understand that. I was talking to somebody the other day who was really irritated with me because I was talking about this kind of stuff, and it just irritated him. Well, who is it to you to say? I said, it's not me to say anything. I'm just a stimulator. You know? There are reasons in life that there are stimulators, because some people need to be stimulated. Some people need to be inspired. Where would we be as a society? Where would we be if somebody said, you've got to ride horses the rest of your life? If somebody goes, I'm going to drive a car around the country. Well, you can't do that. Cars need roads. Well, then we'll build roads. Well, how are you going to build roads? That's too expensive. Then we'll get the government to build roads. Everything in life that we have today is because somebody went someplace no one's ever gone before and sent back maps. Who is that person in your family? Is it you? Is it your wife? Is it your husband? Who is that person that's listening to this show right now? And I don't care if I only get one of you today. If I change one person's life today, I feel as good as I can feel. I've done the best I can do. If I change one of your life, one of you will have made a masterful difference in the world. All you have to do is decide you want to change. I talk to people all the time. And as I talk to them and with them, most of them want to change, that get to me. Now, by the way, that's not most people. Don't get me wrong. It's most people I get to talk to, because you don't really get to me unless you're associated with what we do. I'm not out there in the world talking to people that have no motivation, no goals. You know, I'm not a millennials guy. If you look at the interesting thing that I saw the other day was demographics for our radio shows and for our websites and for our materials. And then I looked at other people and their demographics, and there really is a cut. There is a cut in our society by demographics that is age 30 and below and age 30 and above, and it is so blatant. It's unbelievable. The people age 30 and below tell you they're going to change the world, it's going to be the greatest thing in the whole world, and they're probably right. People 30 years of age and over are saying, man, how do we get through all these changes that are going on around us? Today I'm going to cover that, by the way. I'm going to cover your investment strategy and how it should fit into what's going on in today's society, because that stuff's going on and it's messy. But I have a problem. I'm going to share that with you. The problem I have is, are you a mourner? Are you someone who wants to be inspired? I'm hoping you're on my side of that line, that you're sitting over here right now watching the burial or the services for Bush going, I'm an inspired person, ready to go change my life. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for over 25 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 10 of the last 10 years. It's easy to see why Think Realty Magazine named us the best in the U.S. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're going to get into the marketplace and how we should see it and where we should be investing our dollars out there right now. And interestingly, as I read through articles and stuff, I've got two derivatives here. I've got a set of people over here that want to call the world coming to an end because they think the stock market's going to crash. They think there's a recession right around the corner. They're looking at interest rates being inverted short term to long term. They're looking at all these different negative things. And, you know, what does an economist get paid to do but to babble, right? An interesting statement they made, they made a point that interest rates were inverted. For the first time in X number of years or whatever. And then they make the point after rate inversion, there's almost always a recession. What's funny is they go, then that recession is anywhere from 5 months to 39 months after that, which means did the rate inversion really have anything to do with it? 39 months later, was that just the end of a cycle? They just, you know. So the point is that the statistical data doesn't mean anything to a normal human being, because it's just BS. Now, the other point that's important is, so what if you did know that the market was going to crash in 39 months? Are you going to sit on your hands for 39 months? Are you going to do nothing for 3 years? Think about that. So what I'm telling you is, you've got to look at life as, what can I do with my money today to make money for myself today and tomorrow? When you buy apartment complexes or rent houses and you do it correctly, you're not going to lose even if the market goes into recession. 2007, 2008, when the market crashed, I didn't lose any of my apartments. My apartments made more money because people couldn't afford to buy houses. People were losing their homes in foreclosure. And all that happened here at Lifestyles was all of us that own real estate already were full with tenants. Occupancies were brimming, rents were going up radically, we were loving it during the recession, and the rest of us that had money left over, we were buying everything we could buy at 50 cents on the dollar, increasing the total value of our portfolio, increasing the total income that we make every month. And so what I'm saying to you is, are you an idiot right now? I hope there's a recession, I hope the world crashes, I'll make so much money, it's pitiful. But for you that don't understand that, you're sitting there going, but what if I buy now and market values go down? So what if they do? During the recession, I had some apartment complexes I bought for $10,000, $15,000, $19,000 a door, respectively, three different apartment complexes. Back in 2006-07, they had gone all the way up to $33,000, $35,000 a door in value, so they had doubled in value. During the recession, they went back down to $29,000 a door, still higher than anything I paid for them. But more importantly, the highest amount of cash flow that they had ever produced for me. They were making me more money than ever because we were full and the rents were going up. I had no intention of selling, so the fact that the appraisal would have gone from $33,000 or $35,000 down to $29,000 meant nothing to me. And I eventually turned around and sold them for more than that even when the market did come back up. But that's irrelevant because the point is, we don't sell when the market's down. We buy when the market's down. So again, you got to look at where you're at right now and think about, you know, is this a place I can buy some investments, a business that makes money? And the answer is yes. But not only is it yes, it's yes with a gigantic flag flown across the top of what to invest. And so today, I've got to cover with you, hey, man, wake up. the world is changing, and your long-term business strategy should match the world. Now, I'm telling you that the millennials like smaller and smaller things. They watch TV on their iPhone. When we were adults or kids and growing up, we wanted larger and larger screens. We tried to figure out how to get, you know, from a little 12-inch screen to a 14-inch screen to a 16 to 18 to 22-inch monitors. And our TVs went from 18 inches to 24 inches to 36 inches to 48 inches to 52 inches to 60 inches to 72 inches to 80 inches. Those are our TV sets now. But yet kids watch TV on a phone. You don't see the corollary that big things are going to lose value in the future? As the millennials, as the 30 and younger crowd changes and becomes the marketplace, they're not looking to buy a giant home and fill it full of crap. They don't want crap. They get everything they need for satiation of their pleasure from their cell phone. Everything. They don't even use computers anymore. They use iPads. Smaller, lighter, more convenient. Wow. Are we awake to this? Do we realize what's going on? Well, the marketplace is. The world is. The people out there see it coming, are getting prepared for it. The people that are just dumb as a rock, as I like to say, and there are some people out there a can or two short of a six-pack. And some of it's because, not because they're dumb, but because they're misinformed. Some of it's not even about being misinformed. Some of them don't even care to think about it. That's just the way they are. It's not important to them, right? So today I want to dig into some of this stuff and try to bring a little bit of delight. The first article I'm going to bring up here is the fourth quarter 2018 local apartment reports for 55 different cities in the country. And here's the main headline. Robust job market and confidence boost housing demand. All right, guys. Now, why are any of you contacting me and saying, Dell, is the market bad? Dude, the market is great. Strong performance transcends all asset classes. Wow, think about this, guys. You're not thinking. There it is. That's goes on and says, U.S. economy is firing on all cylinders, generating healthy job creation and soaring confidence levels. These factors, together with positive demographic trends, are encouraging the formation of new households and stimulating demand for rentals. As a result, vacancies remain highly compressed. Vacancy is compressed. It's a negative. In other words, vacancy is a negative, but we have very little of it, okay, which is stupid. As you said, vacancies are low. And declining even further. Most supply-side pressure has increased in some markets. Underlying housing needs have largely kept pace, fostering a positive outlook for multifamily sector. All right, so there it is. It says across all sectors, real estate is booming. Right? But then it goes into very specifics. A gap between the cost of homeownership and renting is widening, pushing many would-be homeowners to opt for apartment living. So what's happening? The people out there can't afford to buy homes anymore. That's a whole show segment by itself, which I'll cover when we get back, that people can't afford homes. And if they can't afford homes, where are they going to live? We call them apartment complexes. Now, by the way, if you have low-cost single-family rent houses, they're going to rent from you. But the bottom line is, everything is looking in our favor right now. Wake up. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
get total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. Over 25 years ago, Dell Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Dell has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the five ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's LifestylesUnlimitedPodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Dell Walmsley.
Welcome back to Dell Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about where you should be investing your money right now. And we're perusing, working our way through some articles and some of the facts that they're putting out there on the table for us to look at as investors. And the facts basically are showing that the apartment market industry is up all over the country. Now, one point I'd like to make to you about statistics and facts as you read articles is that you got to look at the article, a local article, a national article. And then you have to realize that everything they say is either an average or a median. And then you have a continuum. So on a continuum, there's 10 cities that are terrible and 10 cities that are great. Then there's the average and the median, right? So you have to sort of interpolate this stuff, because in our group, Lifestyles Unlimited, we don't have to invest in the city we live in. We're all over the world. I mean, we have properties everywhere. So if we don't like the local demographics that's going on, we can move our investments to other locations, other submarkets that have better local demographics, right? So that's not a problem for us. The factor is, are we on the right side of the human issues curve? And I'm trying to talk to you about the human issues curve today because I think it's so important if you're really going to be able to identify where we're going with this thing and what my brain's saying you've got to do. So the next thing it brings up is Class B and C properties are facing exceptionally tight dynamics as new apartments develop. Development is focused on high-end Class A units. Limited housing stocks servicing less expensive housing needs will remain an issue moving forward. So here it is. You want the secret? Don't buy into horseshoes when cars are being developed. Are you with me? You want to buy into the thing that is going to be in highest demand. And I'll tell you what's going to be in highest demand. Affordable housing. The way our country is going right now, as costs go up and up and up, builders can't build homes less than $300,000. Buyers can't afford to buy them less than $300,000. What is out there on the scarce single-family market gets that's at a low price, us investors are buying them up left and right and should be, because they're not going to build any more of them. Why are they not going to build anymore? Because they can't build them. Period. The cost of land, the cost of materials, the cost of labor, and the cost of government interventions and rules and regulations are making it impossible to build a house less than $300,000. There is no more new stock coming on. We're buying houses for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000, $110,000, $120,000, $130,000, $150,000, $160,000, $180,000, $200,000, $210,000, $220,000, $240,000. We've been buying houses ever since I started, from as low as $25,000 all the way up to now $200,000. But most of our rental properties are under $150,000 in value that we purchase around $100,000 or less per house. Still making massive capital gains, still making great positive cash flow in properties that are so much more expensive that we even would have thought about paying for them 10 years ago even. Because there's no more. There's no competition. They're not building smaller homes. Same thing's true with apartment complexes. 20 years ago, when I came into this business, I had a Class D apartment that I kind of improved it up to like a low Class C. And right across the street from me, they built a government-subsidized housing Class B. That turned into a Class C very quickly because the people they put into it were scumbag Purple Martian people that just destroyed it, destroyed the neighborhood. But the bottom line was, they were able to build something whose rents were just slightly higher than mine and create competition. Now, because I was a better operator and they had all kinds of people, they didn't screen people. Let me tell you the truth. They didn't screen anybody. Government housing says let anybody in. We'll give you free money to build something, but you got to let anybody in and you got to charge them less than what they would normally get charged. And so you fill the place up with Purple Martians. What's a Purple Martian? Somebody that wasn't born on this earth. They were created out in outer space and thrown on earth. They have no work habits. They have no morals. They have no ethics whatsoever. Because that's what you grow up with growing up as a kid. Somebody gives you all those things. But if you end up 25 years of age and you don't have them, then you're not a normal human being. You're from somewhere else and it can't be from this earth. You're a Purple Martian, right? And it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has nothing to do with sex. It has nothing to do with any of the things you would think you'd want to be prejudiced about. It has to do with, hey, you're a upper middle class white person who raised a kid that's an idiot. And he's a complete or she's a complete loser. Doesn't have anything to do with race. It has to do with child rearing. It has to do with ethics. It has to do with values. It has to do with morals. And some people don't have them. So they fill these places up with them, and that was their attempt. Nowadays, you can't even build government housing down to the C level or the B level. The government housing that I've looked at in the last 2 years to try to buy are Class A apartment complexes they're trying to turn into government housing. It just doesn't work, guys. You know, even if you let people live there that have the, you know, 30% of the median income, they can't afford the rent. Even if you discount the rent, right? Even if you discount the rent, then the rest of the people living there don't want to live there because those people do not match the kind of people that would pay the rent. So the point I'm making to you is we can't build Class C and B properties. So what should we be doing? As they become scarce, their value goes up. Their rent goes up. If I were you, and remember, I'm 62 years old and I'm still buying. I have more money, more income coming in than I need to be comfortable, more than I ever dreamed of having as being a success in my own personal mind, and yet I'm still buying. Why? Because it's there to buy. The opportunities are such that if you look at what's going on, they're going to continue to produce overpriced housing and demand people pay higher and higher rents, and people will eventually not be able to do it. The next bullet point on here is national average rent growth posted its strongest level since 2016 as tight market conditions put upward pressure on rates. So just think it through. If you can't build any more low-cost housing, if there's massive upward pressure on rates, that's going to have to drive people down the line. Now, I bought a Class A apartment, which doesn't fit what I'm telling you to do. I'm not telling you to go out and do what I did. I did it for a different reason. I truly believe that, and I bought one that's 10 years old. I believe 10 years old is sort of the old of the new, if you could say it that way. In other words, these new people have to keep selling these properties at higher and higher and higher and higher rates and charge more and more and more rent. I bought in on the low end of the Class A business. So I can just stick where I'm at. I don't have to raise my rents. My numbers are locked in. And if I don't have to raise my rents and these other guys have to continue to raise their rents, then eventually some other people are going to come to me. Now I have a small enough property that I can keep it full, and I've got a niche. I am the one semi-affordable housing property in a market filled with very expensive properties. It's a niche. I'm not asking you to go there. I'm saying to you, if I were going to buy a niche, I'd buy a Class C. And by the way, nobody calls Class Ds Class D anymore. They just, you know, there's no such thing, supposedly. There's only Class C and Class B. Class C being workforce housing. Class B being the intermediary between workforce housing and price or amenity-driven housing. And the last one, Class A, is amenity-driven housing. So in other words, people that are willing to pay whatever they have to pay to get what they want, they go to Class A's. People that are price-constricted go to Class C's. It's the only thing they do. It's like the lowest price they can get. And people in the middle go, you know what? I'm willing to pay a little bit more than a Class C to get some of the stuff that that Class A is offering. I don't want all of it. I don't need it. And I sure don't want to pay what they're charging. But I definitely want to live better than the people living in a Class C. I don't want to live that quality of lifestyle. So, as you see, where we need to be is very obvious. Everything on this article says and tells you where you need to be. Is that not enough clarity for you? Well, if it's not, let's go on to the next article. Next article says, national median rents climb in December. In December, national median rents climb. So there you go. Why do you have your money in something that's not getting better? We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with the answer to that question and many more.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about where to place your money in the investment world right now. And the short and skinny of it is that you better find yourself some low-priced single-family houses, buy all of them you get your hands on. The median price is somewhere around $235,000 out there. And we're buying stuff that's worth $150,000 after we renovate it to perfect. That's an after repair value, but we're buying it around $100,000. So we're making large capital gains in these deals. They're out there. They're all over the country. I talked to a guy yesterday. He is buying stuff in other parts of the country where the housing costs are lower than Houston, Dallas, Texas, or all of Texas. And he's buying stuff in the $70,000s and $80,000 price range and getting good cash flow on those. So, you know, it's just the he looked at, you know, what was the ratio between what he had to pay to buy the property and what the cash flow would be. And he picked those submarkets and liked those. And if you want to listen to that on the show yesterday, go back to our podcast. But as you look through this, there's an article that I've got here. Rental Housing Journal put out an article, and they're talking about this national median rent is up. Then what's interesting is that they break it down as to which areas are doing well and which areas are doing not so well, which I think is really interesting because the percentages are astronomically different. So here are the top 10 cities in the country in rent growth. Jacksonville, Florida, a 12.6% increase, the highest percent increase out there. In one bedroom, went from $807 a month to $909 a month in 2018. Can you imagine that? $100 a month rent increase in Jacksonville, Florida on one bedrooms. Nashville, Tennessee is a 10.4% increase. They went from $1,367 to $1,509. That's $133 a month rent increase. Savannah, Georgia. We're all over Georgia, right? We're all over Florida. We got a 9.5% rent increase, went from $810 to $887. Boulder, Colorado had a 7.3% rent increase, and boy, their rents are high there. Went from $1,771 median to $1,901. Can you imagine Boulder, Colorado? The median rent is $1,901 for a one bedroom. Woo! Doggies. St. Paul, Minnesota, 6.5% increase from 978 to 1,042. St. Petersburg, Florida, Florida back in the mix. 5.6 increase of 1,055 to 1,114. Long Beach, California, 5.6% increase from 1,450 to 1,531. And Baton Rouge, Louisiana, wow, a 5.3% increase. Get this for rents, though. Median one bedroom, 660. Went from 660 up to 695. That's low rents, guys. Charleston, South Carolina, 5% increase from 1239 down to 1301, or up to 1301, my bad, sorry about that. And Colorado Springs, Colorado, 4.9 increase from 813 to 853. So now if you look at the bottom 10, and remember, this is only 20 cities in the whole country. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cities. But if you look at the bottom 10, right, and the differentiation, the worst city in the country is Columbus, Ohio, lost 9% in rent. Rochester, New York, lost 9%. Bakersfield, California, lost 5.7%. Anaheim, Georgia, no, I'm sorry, Athens, Georgia, went down 5.4%. I have no idea why that did. Toledo, Ohio, went down 4.5%. Baltimore, Maryland, went down 4.3%. Cleveland, Ohio, went down 4.1. Columbia, South Carolina, went down 3.7. Madison, Wisconsin, my own alma mater, went down 3.1. And Miami, Florida, went down 3. You say, now, why would rents go out? Well, guys, one of the things you have to understand is that the political, social political environment that's going on right now, where they changed the tax laws, they have made it to where it's not very desirable to own a home anymore. You don't get that much tax write-offs, especially expensive homes. But in states where there's state income taxes, you used to be able to write those off against your federal income taxes. You can't anymore. And those areas are getting killed. Tens of thousands of families a month are moving out of liberal cities all over the country. Did you hear what I said? Tens of thousands a month are moving out of liberal cities, liberal states, and moving to the other states that don't have state income taxes. And that's going to put upward rental pressure on the cities they're moving to and put downward rental pressure on the cities they're leaving. So what do I suggest? I suggest you do not buy any rental properties. You will not see in my portfolio rental properties in a state where there is state income taxes. Not unless Democrats get control and put it back in there where all these liberal states can get away with making the rest of us Americans pay the taxes for these liberal states by offsetting their state taxes against our national taxes. But until then, I'd stay away from those. So these are very specific suggestions I'm giving you. Do you understand that? This is not generic mumbo jumbo. I want you in low-priced houses in conservative states with no income taxes. I want you in low-priced, lower-end Class C and B apartments in those same states and cities. That's where your money should be. You do that now, and I don't care if there's a recession 39 months from now. You will be praising my name. You will be praising your actions if you do what I'm telling you to do now. Don't worry about what's going to happen 39 months from now. Worry about what you've got access to now before the marketplace sucks it up. And remember, don't mourn what you can't have and don't have anymore. Be inspired for what you should have and should be. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.